Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Survive by K.E. Osborne. Narrated by Tortom and Tatiana Sokolov. Prologue. Coda. My life has been filled with turmoil, devastation, heartbreak, and more sadness than anyone should have to go through. My parents were killed in front of me, rocking the very foundation this club sits on. It changed the path I was destined to travel. It hasn't been easy, but every step I have taken has been with purpose and has led me to this. The woman I'm head over heels in love with has a damn target on her head, and I will stop at nothing to make sure the bitch who's after her is taken out before the asshole comes after what's mine. I'd do anything for Thalia. I proved that when I almost lost my life while trying to protect her from an evil so vile. I knew it was time to deal with the shit that brought with it. So, to ensure she was safe, I voluntarily took a scorpion bite. Twice. To prove I am worthy of being the man she needs me to be. I will not fail her this time. Not when she needs me the most. Though, the problem, I'm a damn prospect. A nothing. Well, less than nothing. Patching into the club is everything I've ever wanted. Everything I need. To prove to my family and the club I belong. That I'm not just some kid they seem to see me as. As a brother who is willing to fight and die for this club. Defiance means everything to me. But if I have to go into this mission alone, sacrificing my position at the club to make sure Thalia stays safe, then I'm willing to do just that. Chapter 1. Coda. Zero bangs his gavel, making my head snap up. My thoughts run rampant as I stand by the door. Being the lowest rank within the club, I shouldn't even be in here. I guess being a walker and the president's younger brother has its perks.
Neon, tell me what we know about this Jadis woman. What the hell does she want?
Zero asks. Neon types something into his laptop, then cranes his neck to the side and draws his brows together. Apparently she's into the acquisition of women. She doesn't sell them. She buys them. But no one knows what for. Why she wants Thalia? Whatever the fucking reason, it can't be good. I'm not supposed to talk, but I can't hold back. This is, after all, my woman they're discussing. So I take a step forward. We need to find Jadis and put the bitch down. Now! I grunt out through gritted teeth. The venom in my words pushes out in waves of hatred. Zero snaps his head to me. His hard eyes glare.
Prospect, you get no say in here. Keep your mouth shut while patched members are talking.
Heat washes over me, one I can't extinguish. The same time as I take another step forward. If this patch is going to cause me not to be able to fight for the woman I love, then I will turn it in right fucking now.
That's not how it works. Zero scoffs at a laugh. You need to remember you're a fucking prospect, and there are rules. In this chapel, the patched members discuss plans. You have no say and no decision in the process.
Gritting my teeth, I ball my hands into fists as I turn for the door. Before I get to it, Blake, another prospect, pushes it open and rushes into the room.
What the fuck is it with you prospects today?
Zero grunts. Blake grimaces with panting for breath like he's run a marathon, side-eyes me, but then focuses back on Zero. Thalia went upstairs to use the ladies' room for her, female issues. Now I can't find her. I scrunch my brow. What the fuck? She doesn't have her period. Zero bangs his gavel abruptly and stands.
Enough said in here. Let's find Thalia.
As I cuss internally, I push past my incompetent counterpart, then rush out into the clubhouse, followed by my brothers in search of my woman. There's a threat, and she's missing. This is not good. She knows better than to go anywhere right now. The clubhouse isn't breached. Alarms would have sounded if it were. So before I start to panic, we need to check every fucking inch of this place. As I race into the kitchen, I spot Nessie,
and she smiles at me. Everything okay? Have you seen Thay?
Not for a while. Thought she was with Blake.
I grunt. Yeah, me too. You see her? Tell her we're all looking for her.
Sure thing, Ness replies. I'll go search upstairs if you like.
Thanks. I turn, heading out to find my other brothers wandering around, obviously coming up short too.
Any luck?
Phantom asks.
Nothing. Let me check the lot.
Sprinting to the parking lot, Zero's hot on my tail. As I exit, the first thing I notice, her car is missing. Nausea washes over me. My heart rate spikes as I stop dead in my tracks. Sweat beads trickle down my temple as I start to pace the cement. My hands shift into my hair as I tug at it slightly.
Where could she have gone? Why the hell would she leave? Especially when she knows she's in danger. It makes no sense.
Zero steps up to my side, resting his hand on my shoulder.
This shit doesn't add up.
The first thing I do is pull out my cell, then press her name. It rings and rings, only heightening my anxiety.
Damn it, they. Pick up.
It rings out. My head frantically snaps back to the clubhouse. Maybe she's left me something. I take off faster than my feet can carry me while racing back inside, taking the stairs three at a time. The door to our room practically breaks off its hinges with the force I use to push it open as I enter. I have no idea what I'm looking for, but I know Thalia, and she doesn't do anything without cause. If she took off without telling us, there's a reason behind it. She wouldn't have gone without giving me something. I just have to find it. With force, I yank out drawers, raiding them one by one, pulling out papers, throwing everything on the floor but finding nothing. So I move to the bed, snatching back the duvet. Still nothing. I even pull the pillowcases off the pillows. Nada. Not a damn thing. I'm panting and puffing, trying, searching for anything. Something of a hint of where Thalia has gone. But again, nothing. I pull out my cell, trying her one more time as Zero watches me falling apart from the door. His concerned stare doesn't help while her cell fades to voicemail again.
Fuck.
Picking up a lamp, I hurtle it across the room, the glass shattering on the floor. I don't waste any time and keep moving. Zero goes to reach out for me, but I shove him aside, making my way for the stairs.
Coda!
I ignore him.
Coda!
Zero growls louder this time.
What?
I snap back at him as he keeps pace with my hurried steps.
Is there a reason she would leave on her own? Is there something we're missing?
Do you think I would be this frantic if I knew why she was gone, asshole? I yell, instantly regretting it. He raises his hands in surrender while I shake my head.
Sorry. It's just...
We'll find her.
Letting out a staggered breath, I nod once, somehow not gaining any relief from his words. Making my way over to Neon, he's frantically typing shit into his laptop. As I step up to him, he glances up at me.
I'm on it, Coda. I'm tracking her cell.
My eyes light up, hope flooding my veins.
But it's already gone dark.
A wave of adrenaline hits me so fucking hard, everything covers me in a world of darkened shadows. All light has been vanquished, and any hope I had of trying to find her is quickly diminishing. Prinny steps over, pulling me to her. My protective older sister, who's always trying to look out for me, starts to talk.
Let's not panic. I'm sure there's a perfectly plausible explanation for all of this.
Curling up my lip, I pull back from her.
No, it feels off. Something's not right. She wouldn't just take off without telling us. Without telling me.
Zero turns around, sending a whistle through the clubhouse.
I need to know if anyone saw Thalia leave. Did anyone see anything suspicious?
Everyone shakes their heads or shrugs, leaving me with no more answers than I came up with. Clenching my fists, I let out a long breath. I'm missing something.
I know her.
She wouldn't go anywhere without telling me, without giving me something. So I take off again, a man on a mission.
Coda, where are you going?
Prinny calls out,
I must have missed something, I reply, heading for the stairs again with Zero hot on my tail once more. Upon entering the room, the chaos and destruction I left last time, scattered across the small space, make my insides churn. Scanning the room, I check around. Is there anything I missed? My eyes follow the laptop sitting on the desk. I pick it up, and underneath is a picture of Gage, Thalia's nephew. Reaching for it, I study the picture. I haven't seen this one before, and that confuses me. So I stare closer. Then a chill sweeps over me. I hesitate for a brief second. Turn the picture over. My eyes widen at the handwritten information on the back. Ballister Fishing Area. 3 days. 7 p.m. Come alone. Tell no one. Or Gage will suffer in the vilest of ways. 3 days' time. My mind focuses on the days. Then it hits me. 3 days ago is when the box arrived, threatening Thalia with the picture of Vance, the price list, and the scorpion. When this whole shit show with Jadis first came to my attention. When Thalia opened the box, she must have found this picture of Gage, but hid it from me. A spark of electricity rattles through me, and not in a good way. Thalia kept this meeting from me for one reason only, and that is to protect her nephew. She's out there, putting her life on the line for her family. But she's my family. I can't bear the thought of anything happening to her. With a racing pulse and frantic breaths, I hand the picture to Zero. He takes it while I grit my teeth. We have to ride. We have to ride now. She could already be gone. I run my hand through my hair. Fucking stubborn, independent, stupid woman. Ballister is just over half an hour from here. We can't be sure how long she's been gone, but if we ride fast, we might catch her on the way to the fishing area. Zero instructs. Dipping my chin, I walk with him out of my bedroom, down the stairs, and into the main room. Zero sends a whistle into the air. Brothers, mount up. We're heading to the Ballister fishing area. We think she's headed there. We don't know what we'll find when we get there, so lock and load. My eyes meet Prinny's as she weakly smiles at me. She hates me riding out with the guys, but at some point, she will have to let go of the idea that I am her little brother who needs saving, and face the fact I'm a biker who the assholes out there need protection from. Making my way to my ride, my thoughts are focused solely on Thalia. What the hell is she going through right now? And what the hell possessed her to do this on her own? She should have come to me. She should have trusted we would have found a way to keep Gage and her safe. Now, I have to fight to keep her alive. Revving my engine, I take off at the back of the pack. The vibration of the engine does nothing to stem the nerves rolling through me at warp speed. I simply want to find her, make sure she's okay. That Jadis hasn't done anything to her, hasn't hurt her in any way, shape, or form. It feels like the ride to the fishing area takes a fucking century, but in reality it's not long. As we pull into the docking area, the fresh tire tracks etched deep into the mud send a chill through my bones. Pulling my bike to a stop, there's a smash cell on the ground in front of me. I park my ride, taking off before anyone else has time to do anything. Grabbing Thalia's telltale purple cover, my heart sinks. She was definitely here. My head snaps around, trying to garner anything else. Something that will give me a clue. But there's nothing. No boats, no cars, no fucking nothing. Fuck! I scream out as Zero steps up to my side. Morgan's point is just up there. He points. The workers might have noticed something. We'll go talk to them. You stay here.
The fuck are you talking about? Me stay here? No fucking way. I'm coming too. If they know what happened to Thalia, I need to find out.
Zero exhales.
Coda, you're too close to this.
And if this was Cherry's phone, and she was taken by some fucked up bitch who buys women for God only knows what, would you be taking a back seat?
He rubs the back of his neck.
No.
No. So don't expect me to sit this one out, Prez.
He dips his chin.
Let's go.
We make our way to where I spot a young guy, working away, oblivious to the world. Great. Just what I need. Someone who doesn't give a shit. I slide in beside him, his head snapping up. His tattooed hands slide his AirPods out of his ears while he looks me up and down. Who the fuck are you? Someone who can make this day very fucking unpleasant if you don't cooperate. The kid snorts out a laugh, turns up his nose and goes to place his AirPods back in his ears, in the arrogant way kids are these days. That shit only makes me angrier. So I race forward, grabbing at his coveralls, hoisting him up. His AirPods drop to the ground as I slam him against the man-sized toolbox.
Hey, 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 cowboy, chillax.
Don't start that hippie shit with me. I need information.
Then call 411. I'm not a hotline asshole.
I don't have time for this blasé attitude shit. I clench my fist, slamming it into the douche's jaw. He drops to his knees while I lean in for round two. But Zero grabs me, pulling me back.
Calm your ass down. This is not finding her any quicker.
The kid peeks up at me while rubbing at his jaw.
You fucking hit me.
Stop fucking dawdling and tell me what I want to know before I do something worse than hit you.
I should call the cops.
Give me what I want and we'll leave. He grunts then stands.
Fine. What the fuck do you want?
There were people down at the fishing area only a short time ago. There was a woman. They took her. Was it on a boat? He snorts.
I don't know, man. Maybe.
I curl my hand into a fist again and raise it. He flinches, takes a step back, and raises his hands.
Fuck, you have anger management issues, dude.
Tell me now. He hesitates, craning his neck to the side.
The older woman. She pays us to keep our mouths shut. We let her moor here, but we have no idea where she goes or what she does. She comes with new girls every month or so.
What does she do with them?
No one knows. All I am sure of is, once they get on that boat, we never see them again.
Letting out a grunt, rage surges through me again. We need the details of that boat. Some way to track it. Give me everything you know. He rolls his shoulders.
We don't keep details. She wanted everything off book.
Then you better find something, or you're not leaving here tonight. I warn. Zero scowls like he's unsure of who I am right now. Honestly, I didn't know I had this man inside me until right now either. But then again, I guess we both have. We're walkers. We fight for those we love.
We don't have any way to track the boat, but we have a manifest of all the boats going in and out of the area. If you find a way to check any ships which aren't on the manifest that is currently cruising around, it's probably that boat.
What's your name? I ask.
Call me Judas.
We all raise our brows.
That's not your real name, is it? Hell no. You think I'm giving you guys my real name so you can tell Jadis I ratted on her? Fuck that.
I narrow my eyes in on him.
So you do know for sure it's Jadis then? Shit. Yeah. Just don't fucking tell her it was me who told you. I do hope you find your girl, though.
You better fucking hope I do.
I'll grab those manifests.
He reaches into the man-sized toolbox and pulls out some paperwork, then proceeds to hand it to me. I dip my head. See? Was that so hard? Zero pulls out his wallet, handing him a couple of hundreds. For your time and the smackdown. Judas purses his lips.
Well, if I knew this was a paying job, I would have been more helpful from the start.
Any other time, we may have found his remark funny, but given the circumstances, I don't see any humor. And from the looks of my brothers, they don't either. We make our way over to a large table, spreading the manifest over the surface. Zero turns to me, his eyes hard.
You pull a stunt like that again, and take over a situation when I'm supposed to be handling it, I'll knock you out myself. Understand, prospect?
Anger surges through me that he's reprimanding me right now. Can't it wait? We need to find Thalia.
But I give him a head bob out of respect as Neon pulls out his smaller device, trying to key in the information. He shakes his head.
I can't do this here. I need the equipment back in my den.
My muscles clench in frustration.
You're fucking kidding me. We're here. We're right here. We know she's on a boat, having God knows what done to her. And we're gonna what? Go back to the fucking clubhouse? No.
Neon shrugs.
This is beyond the scope of what I can do here, Coda. To track the boat and narrow it down, I need the right equipment. I can't do that shit here.
Grunting, I throw my hands into the air in pure frustration.
This is bullshit. Who knows what they're doing to her? Zero, do fucking something.
Zero exhales, gripping my shoulder like he can sense this is getting on top of me.
You want to find her?
The fuck? You know I do.
Then we have to go about it the right way. I get that waiting is hell, but Coda, if we head out there unprepared, we could lose her altogether.
Anger surges through me, my vision blurs, and my skin flames red hot. My fist balls, and I slam it with intense force into the nearest wall. The plasterboard crumbles, splintering and cracking with the power of the hit, while I huff and puff trying to calm myself down. But I can't. Thalia is out there, fighting this fight on her own, while we are right here, so fucking close. And now we have to turn around and head back to the clubhouse. I close my eyes and exhale loudly, while shaking my head, then loudly state, "Let's ride."
Chapter 2. Thalia. Damn it, I thought I knew what I was getting myself into. Protecting Gage is the only thing concerning me right now. But as the waves move the boat up and down in a motion that's making me nauseous, I can't help but wonder if maybe I've taken this a step too far. I have no idea where we're heading or what lies ahead of me, but I have to try and not think of where I've come from, because if I do, the pain is too much to bear. Knowing I've left Coda and the club behind, it's like an elephant is sitting on my chest, compressing it until the breath I need is not coming anymore. But if having to leave everything behind means that Gage will be kept safe, then I will take whatever pain I'm about to endure, even if it means my life is in danger, or perhaps something much, much worse. The silk sack they placed over my head makes it hard for me to see. The sounds of the waves crashing against the yacht lets me know we're moving at a fast rate of knots. I'm not sure what Jadis's plans are for me, but my job now is to do whatever she asks to keep those I love safe. Suddenly, the sack over my head is yanked off. My eyes blink rapidly, trying to take in the starry night sky as the wind whips my face, making my hair fly all around me. I'm disoriented for a moment. At any other time, this would be beautiful, except for the memories flooding my brain of the last time I was on a yacht. The fact Coda and I nearly drowned. Yeah, boats and I are not friends. My knee bobs anxiously as the man standing before me wears an expensive-looking suit. It's dark out here. Just a small spotlight on the top of the boat highlights his features. But it's his eyes for a moment, just a moment. It appears like they're filled with regret. But that can't be right, can it? A man working for Jadis filled with regret? My entire body shakes, and my wrists are tied together tightly. When movement catches my eye to my right, which makes me turn, Jadis is a short distance away from me, talking on a satellite phone. The guard in front of me moves his hand toward his hip, and my eyes follow the shift to the direction of his gun. A shiver runs down my spine as I swallow hard. They mean business. I can't hear what Jadis is saying on the phone. She is too far away. But my eyes meet the guard again, and this time he turns away from me, his hand moving to his gun again, as if it's a crutch for him. What's that about? Excuse me, where are we going? I ask. He turns to me, a deep scowl etched on his face.
Shut your mouth. Only speak when spoken to.
My eyes widen in shock. Even though his words are forceful, I'm not sure he means them. There's something off that I can't quite put my finger on. I open my mouth to talk again, but the click-clack of high heels alerts me, and I turn to Jadis, heading my way. My stomach rolls in nervous tension. My anxiety spikes, my palms sweating as I attempt to wipe them down my jeans, but the binds bite at my wrists, making it almost impossible. Jadis, with her perfectly styled hair, which hardly blows in the wind, is walking toward me. How does it do that? The red dress she's wearing suits her to a T. She's absolutely stunning. It's no wonder she gets away with deceitful shit. Thalia, my love, your face is beautiful, but we'll make you look better. Jadis grins wide, so evil it sends a chill down my spine. I don't care what you do with me. You just have to promise Gage is going to be safe. Jadis lets out a booming laugh, the sound so shrill, almost like a hyena. Oh, my love, the moment you surrendered yourself to me, the rest of your family became irrelevant. You're all that matters. Then why do you need me? What is this all about? You're so inquisitive, brave, too. It's why I chose you. You will be an asset to my team. What team? First things first. We need to make the enhancements before we place you out into the ring. My brows squeeze together in confusion. What are you talking about? My words are almost a whisper. I am that terrified of the answer to come. It will all make sense when we arrive at the sanctuary, my love. Until then, if you want to keep Gage safe, behave yourself. No sudden movements or outcries when we are in public. Do you understand me? A slow tear slides down my face, but I nod. I understand. The loud hum of the yacht engine slows. I turn my head to watch the boat docking at a ferry terminal. It seems busy for nighttime, but honestly, I wouldn't know if that's normal or not. The guard from before moves to the edge of the boat to meet the ferryman at the dock. He hands him an envelope, a payoff, most likely. They shake hands, and the ferryman ties the yacht to the dock. Jadis grabs my hands, hoisting me up, roughly, and I stumble a little, trying to gain my footing.
Pull yourself together, Thalia. We don't need you drawing attention to us.
The guard pulls out a knife. My muscles tense as he steps up to me and slides it under the band, cutting the ties. I rub at my wrists as Jadis yanks me forward forcefully, her nails digging into my bicep. I yelp as she walks me off the yacht with adrenaline pumping through my veins. I've never felt more unsure of a decision I've made in my life. Gage means everything to me, but so does Coda. I'm putting Gage before Coda right now. Maybe I could have done more? Maybe I could have told the club about the threat to Gage? But these are all decisions that can be made with hindsight. I don't have that luxury right now. The guard leads me to an awaiting SUV and opens the rear passenger door, gesturing for me to climb inside. I hesitate briefly, but his hand moves to his gun once more, giving me all the incentive I need to get inside the car. Once inside, Jadis slides in beside me, typing away rapidly on her cell. She's the epitome of a businesswoman. I have no idea what kind of enterprise she runs, but I know for sure it can't be good. I also understand I'm probably about to become a part of it. My chest squeezes so tight while I bring my hand up, chewing on my nails and stare out the tinted window. But it only makes the darkened night sky even more dreary. Coda will be searching for me, I have no doubt. I just hope me leaving the picture of Gage lets him know I would never leave him without reason. A damn good reason. Coda means everything to me. I left my life in Phoenix for him. I left my family for him. The only reason I would leave Coda is...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?